From the shores of Puget Sound, this is Greener Views, a unique media resource for information, education, consultation, and fun. Greener Views is a part of the Healthy Homecast Network and is brought to you exclusively by HealthyPainting.com and AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Each episode will introduce and connect you with services, products, practices, organizations, and groups that focus on the health, happiness, safety, well-being, charity, and community of all. Find us on the web at www.greenerviews.net. And now, your host, Daryl Whalen.
Welcome to episode 26 of Greener Views. I'm Daryl Whalen, along with audio engineer Randy Parcell and videographer Michael Schwartz. On our last episode, which was number 25, our guest was John Nelson with Cove to Clover. Joining us this time around is Tristan Heberlin with Solstice Landscape Design. Greener Views is a part of the Healthy Homecast Network and is brought to you exclusively by HealthyPainting.com and AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. So let's get rolling right into it. Welcome to our show, Tristan, and thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Please tell us briefly, what is Solstice Landscape Design?
Yes, Solstice Landscape Design is a landscape design build company. Our focus is on creating ecologically friendly and spiritually nourishing landscape design. Well, spiritually nourishing landscapes. We're a small business right now. There's officially three of us on the payroll. In the summertime, it bounces up to about seven people. And our focus is mainly on residential redesigns. And we transform bleak yards into sanctuaries for you, where you can unplug from the hectic pace of our modern society and connect on a deeper level with the natural environment.
Sweet. And I didn't get into it too much in the beginning, but I've known Tristan for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't even think you were doing this at the time.
No.
I think we met about 8 years ago, no. And he's got... I don't know how much of the story we'll get into, but he's quite a craftsman at his thing, and I've had an opportunity to participate in a few of the projects from the painting aspect, and it's been a real blessing. What is your role in this company, and what are your specific responsibilities?
Yeah, well, first of all, I founded Solstice Landscape Design, so it's my baby, so to speak. My official title is president. But my role is that of a landscape designer. So I listen to clients' needs. I learn about their lifestyle, their aesthetic preferences, and provide a landscape design that can fit with them and their family.
So how did you get started in all this?
That's a good question. In high school...
It's a great question.
Yeah, very good question. It's important. Reason why I'm here today. In high school, I remember hearing all the time in the news about different environmental problems we were having. It seemed like every single week there was a new story about loss of biodiversity, new animals being put on the endangered species list, dwindling natural resources, raw sewage overflows, global warming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I wanted to help counteract all of that. At first, I thought I wanted to do environmental science, but after a while, I realized the best place for me is having a role in which I get to use my artistic impulses. So through landscape design, I get to help the environment, help people, and be an artist using my creativity to make the world a better place.
Great. So I know you do mostly residential. Who is your target clientele, your target resident?
Yep. First of all, a property owner. You've got to own the property first. Two, you would be someone who cares about the natural environment. Three, you'd be someone who enjoys spending time outdoors and connecting with your surroundings, which doesn't necessarily mean consciously trying to connect with nature. Though it could. It could be barbecuing and entertaining guests on your back patio, could be bird watching, could be butterflying, could be crawling around looking for rare insects. But whatever it is, I find that if you don't care too much about being outside, you know, you're probably not going to want to spend much money turning your yard into a sanctuary.
They probably wouldn't be calling you in the first place.
Probably not.
They call those guys that go around and mow the lawn for like $10.
Yeah, yeah. I've got more detailed. I've got answers to that question. So, I really like working with clients whose yards are awful, like in really bad shape. Like the worse it is, the better. I just love starting from scratch, and you know, people sometimes think that their yards are beyond repair. Mm. But I've developed a process whereby, you know, I get to transform those yards into beautiful sanctuaries for them. That also helps the natural environment. And I, with the process I use, it happens with a lot of ease, no matter how horribly unmanaged or unmaintained or out of control it is at the time.
Yeah, we're the same with the painting. It makes the pictures look fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I know you've got a bunch of great ones on your website. There's nothing like a good before and after picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, there's one on my portfolio page right now. If you go to www.solsticeld.com, if you click on the portfolio button, there's a project that I think it's titled Wallingford Home or something like that. But that's probably the best example that I have of a yard that was just a total absolute disaster, filled with weeds and blackberry vines and English ivy. And they couldn't use it. It was just totally overgrown. And we transformed that into just a beautiful set of terraces with edible, fragrant and fragrant plants. Plants that helped restore the natural ecology of the yard as well. And it actually got certified as a backyard wildlife habitat sanctuary by the Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife. So that was pretty exciting.
I know there's a number of your projects that have been certified.
Yeah, several of them, yeah.
Great. Well, yeah, we'll have the website and stuff on there. It'll be on the site. So why does this business matter? What benefit does it serve? Aside from obviously giving people beautiful terraces and stuff, it would be a great one.
Yeah, absolutely. So the two main ones that I think of are, one, helping to restore the natural ecology of a place. And two, we help people connect on a deeper level with the natural environment. So just to say more about the first one, restoring the natural ecology of the yard, there's a lot of emphasis nowadays on minimizing environmental impacts of the work that, you know, companies do and that people do. And I look at it a little differently. I'm not just trying to minimize negative impacts. I'm trying to manifest positive impacts. So I'm trying to create, create a positive ecological impact. And that happens through the types of plants I choose, helps restore biodiversity. We help prevent raw sewage overflows by diverting water from the sewer pipes into, now this is roof water, not from your toilets, but roof water into the earth instead of going straight into the sewers, which causes the whole system to overflow and mixes with the raw sewage and spills into our waterways. It's depressing to think about how much raw sewage goes in there.
Yeah.
And just many other ways. I mean, we don't rely on a lot of the chemicals that some of the landscape companies use. Like the chemical fertilizers, we use all organic practices. Mm. So natural ecology, improving the natural ecology is the first reason, I guess. Second reason is helping you connect on a deeper level with the natural environment. So, this has many benefits. You know, it varies from person to person what you'll get out of that, but, you know, it helps you have a nurturing space in your life to relax and unwind from the often hectic pace of our modern lifestyle. You know, it helps nurture relationships because, you know, it creates a space where you can invite friends and family over to hang out. And it also, you know, having that type of outdoor living space can really help you connect with on a deeper level, you know, the natural environment just by being surrounded by it.
Great. Well, we know that it definitely changes from each particular client or each particular project to another. But overall, what is it, the thing that you are most passionate about as it relates to this work? The thing that really sparks Tristan Heverlin?
It's that combination of getting to heal the natural environment while creating a spiritual experience in the garden.
Well, that's a great answer. That's the kind of stuff that we like here. So what makes your business special or different from others in the field? I know there's a lot of people that tout themselves as being landscape designers and stuff like that. What makes you so special and different?
Yeah, absolutely. Solstice Landscape Design is different because our focus is on our mission, which is to create a world of vitality through ecologically friendly and spiritually nourishing landscape design. So, you know, I see the creating the world of vitality part. That's like the philosophical umbrella of why this business exists in the first place. And so then within the umbrella, specifically how we do it is through the ecologically friendly and the spiritually nourishing landscape design. So, I think most landscape companies that are out there, started when the owner or owners were teenagers or young adults, and they found that it was an easy way to make money to go around with the lawnmower and mow lawns and maintain yards. And a lot of these companies have expanded beyond that, to do design and, you know, maybe irrigation or whatever, you know, they were inspired to learn, often based on the opportunities that were available. If you're mowing somebody's lawn and they ask, you know, for you to redesign a little part of the garden, you know, a lot of people will say, sure, yeah, I'll do that. I know I would. But so what's happening now is there's a lot of landscape companies that they're following the money. They're going to where the opportunity is. And that works great as a business model because, you know, we all have to make money to stay in business. But now what's happening is that a lot of people have found that, you know, using the word sustainability or
green,
environmentally friendly, yeah, all that stuff, you know, they're buzzwords and they can just throw them onto their website or, you know, put it in their pamphlet or whatever. And a lot of people don't know, you know, a lot of the clients don't know what's what and who's who and is it really eco-friendly or are they just saying that?
And unfortunately, a lot of the companies don't either.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. So I guess to answer your question about what makes Solstice Landscape Design different is that I came at it from the opposite angle. I thought about, you know, what can I do to make a difference in the natural environment? And, you know, like I said previously, you know, I wanted to use my creativity to help make the world a better place and help counteract all this ecological, you know, destruction that I was seeing growing up. So I've come at it from the opposite direction. I went to the UW to study landscape architecture and community and environmental planning. I've taken tons of classes that relate to ecology and the soil and aquatic ecology, as well as, you know, forest ecology, urban ecology, and just I've really immersed myself in that whole educational background, and I'm constantly learning more about all of that. So it's not just something that I, you know, put a few buzzwords on my website. It's like I live and breathe this stuff every day.
You can really back it up. Well, you learn the sustainability first.
Yeah.
And then picked up the landscaping part of it second.
Yeah.
As opposed to, well, yeah, most likely not even the opposite. They just, they do the landscaping first and then they push the word sustainability and not even exactly what it means.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Great. So do you want to talk a little bit about spiritual gardening?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What's your take on that? Because when we talked about doing this and you sent me back some stuff, and that was the one thing as a key word that really struck me as being pretty cool. So tell me what that means.
Yeah, yeah. So about a year or two ago, it was actually after a book I read called Good to Great by Jim Collins. He writes about businesses and talks about what turns businesses from being good to great. And a couple of questions he asked is, one, what are you most passionate about? And two, what would you want to develop yourself as being the best in the world at? And I thought about that. I reflected on that. And what I came away from with that was, that I hadn't ever thought about before consciously, is that I want to create a spiritual experience in the garden. When we go in nature, you know, there's a couple of different reasons why I think nature and being immersed in the natural environment helps us, connect and come away feeling grounded. One, I think when we're in nature, whether we're on a hike or in a beautiful garden, it unplugs us from our, you know, all the ungrounding distractions of our fast-paced lifestyle. And it helps us get back in touch with ourselves and in touch with other people if we're sharing that experience with somebody else. So it just helps us get a little bit of a respite from all the distractions that are out there. And also, number two reason I think why nature helps us feel more grounded is that it provides us with a myriad of sights and sounds and different sensory experiences that surprise us and fill us with a sense of awe and inspiration. Whether it's on a hike, getting to the top of a mountain, getting to the top and like seeing this incredible view. You know, it puts people in a state of like, wow. The same can be true in your backyard if you have plants that, for example, have certain fragrances or attract certain birds like hummingbirds. Just those kind of unexpected moments of appreciation of nature can really quiet our minds and help us connect with what Native Americans called the sacred silence. Mm-hmm. Where it's that point where our mind stops all its chatter. And sometimes it happens for a second. Sometimes it happens for several seconds. I hear stories of people who get to experience that for days at a time. I never have. But oftentimes that happens when we focus our attention on our senses. And I think having a beautiful garden where you can have that immersion in things that delight our senses really helps make that possible.
Great. Yeah, I totally agree. Just even a little sunshine and stuff. on Saturday, it got really nice outside, and I just was feeling like twice as good.
Yeah.
So we talked about a little bit before the show. You weren't so sure about a national resource, but you said there was a local resource for people that are generally maybe more in line with the kind of work that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's tons of organizations and that are related to landscaping or landscape design or just all over the board. But one that I know of that's really committed to the ecologically friendly and sustainable aspects of landscaping is called COOL, the Coalition of Organic Landscapers.
Hmm.
I think my membership has lapsed, but I was a member until very recently, and I'm going to be a member again very shortly. But yeah, that's the one organization I know of that they're really firmly committed. One. Yeah.
Cool. That's local, huh?
It's local. There's a variety of landscape companies in the Seattle area that, you know, it's all volunteer run, and they sometimes have educational events where they'll have, you know, experts, for example, on soil ecology come and translate all the complicated soil ecology concepts into simple concepts that, you know, anybody who doesn't have a degree in soil science can understand, or just things like that, like different symposiums on pesticides and the alternatives to pesticides and things like that.
So it's almost like the Building Guild for landscapers, where it brings together people that are committed to the same type of the sustainable and stuff like that. Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
For those of us that are not in our area, what advice do you have for someone hoping to hire or find somebody like yourself? Like, what could they look for, or what kind of questions would they ask?
Yeah, that's a good question. At first, when I saw that question, I had no idea, like, what to say, because I never really thought about, you know, how does a person go about finding the right company for them. I think find a company that you know without a shadow of a doubt shares your values. And so, like the ecology, for example, a company that's really committed to ecologically friendly practices will say that very clearly, and it'll show up in all areas of their business. Some businesses tend to be a little bit chameleon-like. Like, they won't be very bold about saying ecologically friendly or sustainability, because it sort of depends. You know, if the client wants sustainable, they'll be like, oh, yeah, we can do sustainable.
They kind of change with the wind or change with the weather, whatever. Yeah,
exactly, exactly.
There's not a lot of integrity in that, though, sometimes, is there?
No. Yeah. And so, for example, you know, if you go to my website, I mean, you'll see, like, on every single page, I'm talking about the different ways in which, we operate at all levels of the business in a way that respects the natural environment. I mean, we use biodiesel in our trucks and recycle everything from, you know, job construction waste. We recycle it all if it can be recycled. And same within the office, we recycle there. And so, you know, look for those. A company that's talking about that stuff in their marketing. And if they don't have it in their marketing, you know, you said, what kind of questions can you ask? You know, ask them those types of questions. If you care about picking a company that is committed to sustainability, say, what are you doing to help
don't
the
be
environment?
Afraid to put them to task a little bit.
Yeah.
No, that's great. That's good stuff. You know, we had on, I think it was episode, oh boy, it must have been 3 or 4. It was like a year or so ago. We had a guy that I know from Chicago has a record company, and he has a sustainable record company.
Really?
I mean, the office was like built LEED certified.
Wow.
The one they still put vinyl out, the vinyl has, it's like sustainable and stuff. It's like recycled, and
that's cool.
All the packaging and everything is like biodegradable and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, that's really cool. Well, so, hey, we're here with Tristan Heverlin from Solstice Landscape Design. This is episode 26 of Greener Views, and we're going to take a very short break, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Greener Views. Gravity connects me to the earth, which connects me to people who connect me to myself more honestly. And gravity connects me to the crust, which connects to the leaves on the trees that make it possible to breathe.
With naive mind shield, like a helmet, They would tell us that we don't know how we feel or how to connect with other people on the planet. Oh, if we only knew the power in each blue, disillusioned little. In the vision of one resides all, destroy the individual, for this is critical. The self ain't everything, hands to grasp, to cling, to mask material vastly shipwrecked beings. At last, release the greed amassed with capitalist tasks and contact. The mass communication is all we have in dwindling.
Okay, we're back. Okay, and we are back. And we've got Tristan Everlin from Solstice Landscape Design, and this is episode 26 of Greener Views. And this is the part of the interview where we veer away from the business itself a little bit, and we talk about what makes you and what's helped to make you the person that you are. Who or what would you say has had the greatest influence on your life so far?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that would be Bill W., the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. He discovered and formalized the 12 steps of recovery from alcoholism and addiction. And without that, I would be either dead or drunk right now instead of talking to you.
So, there you go. That sounds like a good one. So what about, without regard to the particular subject matter, what authors or books have been most inspirational to you? I know that you're an avid reader.
Yeah. Did you know that?
I sure did.
I didn't know that you knew that.
Every time I talk to you, you tell me about some book that you read.
Really? Oh, cool. Well, one, alluding to my answer to the previous question, Alcoholics Anonymous, just because that, you know, that is what helped create this worldwide movement of recovery from addiction. And like I said, I would be dead or drunk right now if not for that book. Number two, so I've got three on my list of the top three. Number two is The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, which is a program of recovery for artists who are blocked creatively. And I know I was blocked creatively. And through working that book, that's how I got the clarity and the courage to start my own business and do the work that I'm so passionate about doing. And then the third one is called.
Oh, and by the way, I love that book, and I did that thing.
Oh,
and
cool.
I used to just, every morning I used to pop up and right away and everything.
Yeah.
I was a real excited. I'd recommend anybody.
Absolutely.
To do that. Anyhow, go ahead. Number three.
Yeah. So number three, it's a business book. It's called Start Small, Finish Big. And the author is Fred DeLuca, who co-founded Subway sandwiches. And, I read that book at a time in which I was wavering. I had made the decision to start my business, but then I started finding out how much stuff I'd have to deal with to be in business. And I changed my mind. I was like, no, I'm not going to have my own business. I'll just do it on the side. And like, I thought I was logically making that decision that was a good decision at the time, but my heart really shrank. And then I read that book, Start Small, Finish Big, and it really inspired me because I didn't have any business education at the time. I didn't think of myself as a competent business owner, or I didn't see that for myself. That's not, you know, I didn't go into business so I could be a business owner. I went into business to do the creative work that I love to do. So that book just really helped break it down and encouraged me to just start small. You don't have to be an expert. And one of the key principles that really is crystallized in my mind is the principle of ready, fire, aim.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we make decisions not to do things because we don't know exactly how we're going to get to our goal, or we don't feel that we have the skills or the education or whatever it is to be successful in a certain area. I didn't know anything about business when I started my business, but I read that book and it was like, okay, maybe I can do it. I'll just ready, fire, and then aim. And it worked. Here I am 5 years later, March 1st. I just celebrated 5 years in business.
Wow. Well, happy birthday, I guess, right? Happy business birthday. Great. So what do you see as the main responsibility that you have to yourself during your lifetime?
Yeah. Well, I think I answered it in the we, because that's how you had asked it before, but I appreciate that, because part of my answer was that it's not for me to say how anybody else should live their lives.
And I appreciate you pointing that out. That is what I meant, by the way. So how about for Tristan?
Yeah. So for me, my main responsibility is to be clear about who I am authentically, and to be of service to the world in a way that best combines my interests, passions, and talents. And so for me, that's something I have to continuously remind myself of, that I really have to be true to myself and try to let go of fears about what other people are going to think if I do a certain thing or say a certain thing, or it doesn't quite fit within the box that I think someone else wants me to fit in. So yeah, just to be true to myself and live in accordance with that.
Great. So along those lines, what about our responsibility to the planet?
Yeah.
I know you've mentioned a little bit throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. All I'll say about that is I think my responsibility and our responsibility is treat it like our home, because it is.
It sure is, isn't it? Great. So what about what's something that, you know, somebody that doesn't necessarily see themselves as a very proactive person or a really involved person, what's something that something even small or big that a person can do that might have the best impact or most impact to getting towards this place that I highly agree with is a good place to get to myself?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say learn where you fit. You know, do the soul searching that it takes to really learn, you know, like everybody has a certain amount of talent, certain passions and interests. And, you know, I used to try to fit myself within what I thought like the rest of the world would approve of. That didn't work for me. So, and like I said, the artist's way really helped me.
It's likely you weren't meant to fit there anyhow.
Yeah, exactly. So, if everybody can know themselves truly and authentically, you know, that right there, you know, the rest of the answer to that question will just fall into place.
Great. I love it. I love the way you think. So what's the best way for people to check out what you do? Give us any phone numbers or email addresses or web links.
Yep. So I'll start with a website, www.solsticeld.com. I also just started a blog about a month ago, and the mission of the blog is to share ways in which people can create a spiritual experience in the landscape and in the garden through landscape design, just sharing different landscape design principles.
So what's the blog address?
Blog is blog.solsticeld.com.
Great.
And then phone number, 206-898-2850. Call anytime. It's my phone. It's my business line. It's my home line. It's there 24 hours a day. If I don't want to answer it, I'll turn it off, or I won't answer it. But I don't keep, you know, like 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. office hours. You know, I'll pick up the phone at 7 p.m. or Saturday afternoon or whatever. Feel free to call. Email address is Tristan. It's my name, Tristan, T-R-I-S-T-A-N, @solsticeld.com.
.com. All right. So anything in the near future? We'd probably like to go out a couple weeks out. Any upcoming events or special offers or any other information that you want to share with us?
I was going to say that I just started a blog, so check that out, but I just already said that. I don't have any special events, but special offers, yeah. Anybody who found out about Solstice Landscape Design through this podcast, I'm willing to give you $25 off per hour of landscape design services.
Sweet. Mention Green Reviews.
Absolutely. Their usual rate is $75 an hour, $25 off, $50 an hour. And I'll that offer will stand for a year from this date. So it is it March 5th today?
I believe so.
It 2012. Sure, so until March 4th. Through March 4th, 2013.
March 4th, 2013 in the house.
Offer will stand. Sweet. And if you're listening to this on March 6th, did you say 2014?
Oh, 13.
13.
2013.
Yeah, March 5th, it'll expire 2013. But if you're listening to this on March 7th, 2013, give me a call anyway.
We'll work something out.
We could work something out. Absolutely.
That's sweet. I like your style.
Thanks.
Great. Okay, well, listen, do you have any wise advice or helpful hints or final words that you want to leave us with?
Yeah, I do. To thine own self be true.
Good. And I'm going to interject with Tristan's Learn Where You Fit. I really really dig that one.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you've been listening to episode 26 of Green Reviews. We'd like to thank this episode's guest, Tristan Heberlin, for joining us. Thanks for sharing a bit of your world through our podcast, and we hope you enjoyed the time you spent with us here today.
Yeah, definitely did. Thanks for having me on.
Does anyone have... Hey, guys. Oh, okay. Guys, does you have anything before we go? Before we wrap this up? Okay, well, let's see. On our next episode, number 27, we'll talk with Michael Armstrong with Second Use about home and building recycle and salvage, amongst other things, I'm sure. On behalf of myself, Daryl Whalen, and our crew, our posse, Randy Parcell and Michael Schwartz, we'd like to say a heartfelt thank you. Special consideration goes to AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Please check them out. Music is provided by John Henry Scully at SlapJazz.com, Dan Fagens at DanFagens.com, and J.D. Hobson at JDHobson.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts on ideal guests and topics for the show. You can email us at info@greenerviews.net or call 206-650-4587 24/7, like Tristan. Make your day extra special by checking out greenerviews.net and youtube.com/greenerviews for the video version of our episodes, where you'll also find more information over the coming weeks. And lastly, Greenerviews is a part of the Healthy Homecast Network. So please go check out the other like-minded podcasts and businesses over at healthyhomecast.com. That's it. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening. Greener Views is part of the Healthy Homecast Network. Check out all their conscientious and sustainably focused podcast programs and businesses at healthyhomecast.com. Greener Views is created, developed, and produced by Daryl Whalen. Our audio engineer is Randy Parcell. Our video engineer is Michael Schwartz of AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Music for this episode was provided by SlapJazz.com, DanFagens.com, and JDHobson.com. Your feedback is important. Please feel free to contact us with any comments or questions, including suggestions for guests and program topics. You can call us at 206-650-4587. Or send a direct email to info@greenerviews.net. Be sure to check back often. New episodes coming soon.